This is Believe in Buckeyes. This show is brought to you by Bet Online. Chill, go ahead with the ad.
So Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting contests and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use your promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
And if you're having any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're 24/7 to help you out with any needs you may need in that standpoint. But once again, this is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chinny Checkwad. We're in the off season, so we're discussing Ohio State football. I mean, that's what we do here, man. So we're gonna get right into it. First thing I guess we should talk about here, Chum, is our coaches. I mean, we signed some contracts. Basically, the guys we expect that's been doing a good job, they got extended for a couple of years. Who had a contract in lingo, Coach Tim Walton. He has an extension, right? He extended 2 years. He's now under contract through the 26th season. He was doing a fantastic job, right? I mean, yeah. The defensive backfield has been outstanding over his last season or so. I mean, he's just killing it on the recruiting trail. The guys he brought in, the guys that have already committed to Ohio State in the coming future here. And so with that, he got a upgrade in title. He's now the assistant head coach of the team. Obviously, you're a DB. That's a big title that you give to essentially your quarterback DB coach. What's your thoughts on Tim getting that? And I guess a quick line on what that means to you and what you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting rewarded for what he's putting out there. I think, he had it the first year was a little rocky in the defensive backfield, new defense, some young players. And then from there on, they've been performing at a high level. He's been recruiting at a high level. And shout out to Coach Duhart, too, his assistant out there. Also, you got to give him some credit for some of those recruits coming there as well. But, yeah, man, that assistant head coach title, that's rewarding a guy who's been killing it, just killing it across the board. And it's not just the results, just the play, just the recruiting, but the way his players speak about him. Yeah. Is telling as to what he brings when it comes to Ohio State football. So shout out to him. Shout out to those defensive backs. And my expectations for them remain very, very high, right? So and I expect them to continue to deliver.
Yep. And also, Coach Knowles, the defensive coordinator we brought in for a couple of years, obviously he got a contract extension, well-deserved. And obviously, Coach Larry Johnson, the defensive line coach, I mean, he's just a staple around here. And obviously, I think he gets to coach as long as he wants to under Ohio State with the guys, the things he's had done over the years. So, but the biggest hire that means the most to us, I would say, is that Coach James Laurinaitis, he now has an official role on the staff as the linebackers coach. And I put out a little tweet that now we got a silver bullet, coaching the silver bullets. Meant a lot to me. Obviously, with some lingo about him possibly interviewing other places. Was he going to get that last role? But he officially has it. What does that mean to you, being a former Buckeye, playing with James, and what do you think that means for this defense up in the coming future?
Yeah, I mean, my bias is going to show in this one, right? Because we played with James Laurinaitis. Obviously, we played with Brian Hartline. So we added another former teammate to the coaching staff. So, I was obviously a huge supporter of that. But I think what James brings, at least from what I know of him, right, is that combination of toughness and smarts, football intelligence. I think he's a humble individual, but he'll also be a high energy coach as well. And he's just one of those guys. Like he's a Ohio State legend. So when it comes down to recruiting, he's not just telling a player come to this school, but he's telling them, look, this is what I did here. And one thing I want to mention is James Laurinaitis, like myself and others, right, was a three-star recruit coming out, right? A guy who played in the NFL maybe, I don't know, 8, 10 years, I don't know, a long time, right? All-American in college football, a Buckeye legend. So it means that guy, from three-star to working, understanding the game of football, to building up, you know, the type of career that he built up. It just shows what type of person he is. So I'm excited to have him in that position. And you think about a guy like Sonny Styles who will potentially move from a safety to a linebacker position. I don't know if there's anybody better to be able to develop a player like that. So I'm pumped for James to be put in that position.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, obviously, we got to play with him. Me being an offensive lineman, I had the pleasure of trying to block James late at night in many of practice and kind of track him down and things of that nature. And if he was blitzing, trying to catch up with him, things to keep up with him and get the job done. I mean, just a tremendous leader. I mean, I think the biggest thing that always stands out to me about James is, yes, super down to earth, right? I mean, he's the type of guy that when it's time to joke around, he could lead that as well as he could lead when it's time to buckle up and tighten up your chin straps and make plays in short yardage. I mean, he's just a ultimate guy. You know, his father's like what a wrestler, ultimate warrior type of guy, and he's one of them type of guys as well. He just does the right thing all the time. And so I'm just excited that he's on the staff. Now we have two former guys that we got to play with, Hartline and Laurinaitis, now on the staff. And it just means a ton for former guys when you go back and you kind of can see someone that you actually know and you want to say, like, hey, you know, what's the real? So, like, how are you really feeling about, you know, the team or these certain players that you can get a real response out of them? You know, they can, you know, tell you really and genuine how they feel or things that this person can need to improve on. And so they're super proud that we was able to retain him. You know, Coach Day was able to get the job done there and then let him, you know, kind of slip out the door. Obviously, we kind of nabbed him over from Notre Dame, right? He was up there with one of his best friends, Marcus Freeman, and we got him home, and now we're able to kind of keep him here for at least another season or so and just kind of see how his coaching career blossoms from there. But
real quick. Shout out to Coach Day and his coaching hires because, yeah. I mean, individual coach, whether you like him or you don't like him, I feel like this year feels like the first year where the entire staff feels like Day staff, right? Yeah. Not necessarily guys that, you know, just remain from Urban and them being weaknesses. Like, it just feels like he has a full control and belief across his staff, guys that he picked, guys that he kept. And it just feels different to me. I think when you're following a coaching legend, you know, there's challenges. And I think, you know, from this year moving forward, that staff is at least the foundation is set and he has, you know, good pieces in place.
Yeah, that's for sure. And another thing that's huge is that, so it was kind of illegal and limbo a little bit. You know, what was Ohio State going to do with that last coach that they could hire for this staff? And I'm not going to say we fired, but we did not retain our special teams coach after last year. And obviously, we spoke about our special teams. I mean, essentially, it was just a lot of times it just felt like them kind of lining up and going through the play. Like, you know, it wasn't much there. It didn't look like we was trying to create much there. The name, once in a while, we have a mistake. So we're not creating it in there. You have a mistake. All you could think of is the mistake. And Coach Day kind of said it in his pressure last week that, you know, with we now have an offensive coordinator in, he could spend more time and put more effort towards the special teams. I think that's huge. But, Tim, give me your thoughts on it, and then we can kind of wrap about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you think about special teams, like in the NFL, you have a special teams coordinator. And realistically, guys who want to be on a football team in the NFL and want to be on the roster have to go hard for that special teams coordinator. Otherwise, you get cut, right?
Right.
In college, you know, if you have a special teams coordinator that's not truly empowered, where, you know, if a guy doesn't actually excel on special teams, it's not going to impact anything else, right? It makes it hard. It's kind of a mindset thing.
Yeah.
And I think when you have the head coach who's involved, or you have a collective of all the position coaches who are involved, then the way you work on special teams impacts you when you go back to your position room. It impacts how that coach, how the head coach looks at you. And I think that element, you know, we could talk about who, you know, the special teams coordinator, whether or not he was good at what he did or not. I think part of that special teams aspect is not just the person in position, to rally the troops. It's the head coach, and that head coach having direct involvement in it, I think it plays a big part in being able to be having effective special teams unit.
Yeah, and I completely agree. I feel like we're going to get back to seeing us actually make some plays on special teams, like, you know, actually return a punt for a touchdown, or at least, you know, flip the field with the punt return and return some kickoffs and try to, you know, push things to limits. And I believe our punt team will improve. It's just, you're just going to, like, the guys are going to pick up, right? Like you said, it's going to directly correlate. What you're doing in special team is going to affect how you proceed on the team and how your position coach, most importantly, how that person sees you. I mean, it's not rocket science. If you go to college, if you're playing college football, you want to go on to the NFL, right? So everyone, you know, if you're a defensive lineman, if you're going to get on to the NFL, you feel like you have to be the best defensive lineman around to kind of get to the next level. And that goes for wide receivers, you know, all across the board. That's how it goes. So when you're doing it for a position coach, your position coach in particular, I mean, you're going to go all out because it's just a mindset that if I don't do this right here, they can't trust me to block, you know, to block the right person on punt, how can they trust me to be in the right gap in the defense? You know, and it all kind of correlates. And I feel that that's a huge change. We're going to get back to seeing a lot more plays, there's a lot more energy that's kind of coming from our special teams in the coming season due to that change. And really looking forward and excited for it.
There's a lot of hidden yardage on special teams. And we lost a lot of it this past year. A lot. I'm not going to do the math on it because I don't got the time. But if somebody was to go back throughout the year, I mean, go to the Michigan game. Just go to the Michigan game and identify how many hidden yards were lost. When I say hidden yards, right, that's a potential 10-yard punt return. That's one first down, right? You let the ball bounce instead of returning the 10 yards. You let the ball bounce, you might lose 20 yards, right? You catch the ball inside the 5-yard line instead of letting it hit the 5 and roll into the end zone, you might lose 15 yards. That impacts the game, right? And all we do, we look at the quarterback and we see him throw a pick when he's backed up. But what we don't identify is that he probably should have been starting from the 20-yard line. And that changes the entire game. So special teams is huge, and I'm interested to see – well, I'm not interested. I want to see some improvement. And there should be with Coach Dave putting a much higher emphasis.
Yeah, you would expect things to improve there. So we also want to kind of, I guess, talk a little bit more about Chip Kelly. I mean, obviously we had now an extra week to kind of digest the hire and kind of start looking at a little bit more about what he was about at UCLA compared to his old days of Oregon, his NFL days and things of that nature. And I guess a quick research, I mean, we like what we're seeing, right? Throwing numbers at last year, he had a true freshman quarterback. So things were kind of a little bit in the law type of deal on you know, how stats and things are perceived. He was kind of banged up and that nature. But if you kind of go back two seasons, we had DTR during Thompson Robinson. I mean, the offensive staff was really off the charts last year with a true freshman quarterback and playing three quarterback. The stats wasn't bad there either. What are you hearing about this Chip Kelly offense and what he brings now that he's a little bit more mature in his role when he comes to controlling the offense? What are you hearing out there?
Yeah, so first I'm hearing your initial concerns. Your initial concerns was, look, we played against Chip Kelly at Oregon, and it seemed like high-powered offense, you know, against mediocre defenses, mediocre to average level defenses. But when you went against a high level defense, guy with some big guys up front, some guys who could put some real pressure on the offense, and those high leverage moments, maybe a 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, right? They weren't really able to be that as effective. And I think, you know, when I go back and look now, what he's doing at UCLA, Chip Kelly has learned as well. He's evolved as well. If you go back, the zone read offense, that Chip Kelly kind of revolutionized, really, brought to the NFL, run pass option, all that stuff, really changed the game. But defense has caught up with that. And I think he learned his lessons in the NFL, right? He had a way of doing things with Philly. He had a way of doing things so much, he got rid of a lot of great players to do things his way, right? But when you go back and you watch him play at you watch him at UCLA and that offense, you see him incorporating a little bit more downhill runs, a little bit more inside runs, a little bit more power. Not just doing everything from the, you know, the traditional shotgun. And I think that evolution is gonna bring a lot to Ohio State. Cause we aren't Oregon. We can recruit the big guys up front. And I think Chip Kelly's approach to the game and his attention to detail and the way he really focuses on executing a run game is gonna bring a lot for us this year. Cause I thought we were lacking a lot last year.
Yeah. So I mean, just in general, I mean, like, you can start looking at the numbers. I think last year he averaged like 190 some yards rushing. I think the year before that was like in a 240, 250 range per game. I mean, that's a lot of yards. But if you can rush for 200 yards in a game in college, I mean, the chances of you losing that game just kind of dwindles, right? And then You start thinking about our defense, right? So you, how good we were last year, you imagine next year, can we get any even better as a defense? If you rush the ball for 200 yards, I know we're going to be really tough to beat. So just kind of looking at a couple things here and just knowing that, you know, if we implement what you would think, we'll have a quarterback with more mobility, right? And a quarterback with more mobility is obviously that's going to help our running, our rushing attack tremendously. Just really just the numbers, the way you have to approach our offense, that should help us out a ton. And then just kind of having a guy who, I say what I say, like, you know, he kind of used to kind of run an offense a certain particular way. If you kind of come in and you put an offense in that's simple, guys know what they're doing. Yeah. Guys know what they're doing, and they can play fast and play hard and come off the line of scrimmage. That essentially would help our running game a ton there. One big thing that I had noticed in the running game that, you know, kind of looking at some of the things that they were doing at UCLA is that they run a lot of plays out of the pistol formation. And if you don't know what the pistol formation is, essentially standard depth for a running back is usually 5 to 7 yards in the backfield. In a pistol, you kind of bring that running back up. You kind of get to the 3.5, 4 yard off the line of scrimmage. And that lineup, if we're able to put in the offense, we put our running back there and have a rushing quarterback, just those two things alone is going to help out our short yardage tremendously. In those 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-goal situations. So we could just kind of go out, come off the ball, and be able to get the hat on the hat to the proper people. And we should be better in, from that standpoint if we go ahead and get it implemented and get it executed.
And that's an important thing because when we played against Oregon, they didn't run out of the pistol, right? Like that wasn't a Chip Kelly staple back in the day. So that shows a little bit of his shift and his evolution. And, you know, a lot of that probably had to do with who Oregon was going to get up front. Like, they probably weren't going to get at bigger guys up front. So they played a certain style. But we will at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. There was a quote out there from Chip Kelly. He talked about, you know, the most important thing to do is to evaluate who you have and then build the offense around who you have. Now, I got to imagine that that's a little bit of evolution as well, because when he was with Philly, he changed out a lot of who he had. but that's important because we are an Ohio State offense. And utilizing this group to the best of their ability, we should be able to run the ball effectively. We just got maybe a top 2-3 rusher from the SEC out of Ole Miss. We got maybe a top 2-3 rusher already on the team, not to mention Dallin Hayden as well, and a bunch of guys up front. So I'm optimistic about what Chip Kelly could bring, and the fact that Ryan Day was trying to add that. He was trying to add all those stats, all the things you talked about UCLA run game. He was trying to add that when he added Justin Fry to the offense of coaching staff. And we didn't get that. Whatever they were trying to do, it wasn't working. It seemed like they scrapped it and just, you know, said we're going to do some simple things. And they, you know, improved a little bit. But we were always behind when it came to our offensive running game. We just didn't hit the season how you would expect.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate that happening with Chip Kelly running this offense.
Yeah, no, I mean, it shouldn't. Right, obviously, we got to get into the year for us to really know But you would hope that, you know, we're able to take the talented guys that we have with Judkins, Henderson, Daly had it. Off of the line coming back, the transfer Seth coming in out of Alabama, and just really improve. Obviously, when it comes to the running situation, it's kind of funny because we had Trevion Henderson last year, right? And we know how explosive and certain of some big games that he had. But if you're a real Buckeye fan and you're watching that offense last year, I mean, we talked about it all before the year. Like, if we could run the ball, what we should be able to do, run the ball, you know, just to help out Kyle McCord tremendously. And then it kind of got to the season. It's like running the ball was kind of like a home run threat. And then, like, you know, we kind of did it when we could. But essentially, you know, with a lot of weight still on McCord to make kind of plays with his arm for us to kind of get us in and out of a lot of games and situations. So, hopefully, you know, Coach Chip comes in. He's able to do his thing. He's implemented his offense. The guys attain the information. Obviously, now he's back with Fry. He got his guy, Dave, with him. And I will anticipate improvement, but I'm not checking that box until I see it, man. Until I see it myself, man. But so far, right, you know, leading up to the spring, me and Timmons have been going through the positions and just kind of grading guys what we've seen last year quick. Hey, this is the grade we would give them based on who they had actually playing and performing. And then this is the grade we kind of see now that going into the spring on, you know, what they need to do to kind of improve. And today we wanted to kind of jump into the quarterbacks. The first news is that Coach Chip Kelly, you know, he gets the job and he offers a 5-star quarterback out of California, Brady Smiegel, for the class of 26. So that has to be his first official offer since he has the job. But Tim, what are you seeing out our quarterback room? How would you grade last year, basically, yeah, McCord and the Brown competition to what we have currently with Will Howard and the boys? What's your feel?
Yeah, so the quarterback room is interesting because you only play one, maybe two, but really one guy. So you're really kind of grading primarily McCord and then, you know, what Devin Brown did last year. So I would give the grade, if we just talk about last year, the grade going into the Michigan game is probably around a B-, I would say. Even directly after the Michigan game, about a B-, based on how McCord played. We talked about the run game not reaching his full potential. I think that hurt Kyle McCord. Obviously, it was his first year starting, so he had some inconsistencies. Kyle McCord made some really good throws.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He made some really good throws. Struggled sometimes, you know, moving in the pocket and when he got pressure. I think that was some of his biggest challenges. But then he left. Right, so yeah, you got to dock the grade a little bit because as soon as the game ended, he left. He left after a loss, and then the bowl game came, and you know, burned the broke boats. Devin Brown wasn't able to finish that game due to injury, and we finished off with the true freshman who hadn't really been implemented into that offense much. He hadn't really grown enough. So they went from a B-, in my opinion, to about a D. D. And then to me, back up to a B+. I'm giving them going into the season. I don't think you agree, but I'm giving them going into the season about a B+, adding Will Howard, getting Julian Sain out from Alabama, Aaron Nolan pulling up, right? And then still getting another year of Devin Brown, another year, well, maybe a full year of Lincoln. The quarterback room is stacked. The top grade really comes down to Devin Brown's improvement and Will Howard's ceiling. Like, what can he actually do? And I got some thoughts on Will Howard, but I'm interested in your grade.
Yeah, so last year we were on the exact same page. I feel like Kyle McCord, he had a tough rope to climb. And I feel like he climbed it fairly. I mean, he started the year with competition. Didn't know if he was going to be the guy or not. He obviously goes and wins the job. Obviously, the season goes on. Some games he's on, some games he's not. We lose to Michigan, so it's just like, what happened? But I think McCord was good enough to win the Michigan game. Obviously, he has a couple of interceptions, and you watch the film, it's were they his fault? We could watch the film and kind of say, like, how it could have, the things could have went a different direction, and obviously, but he leaves. And we understand, right? That's how college football is that. But going into to next season, I'm a little bit down on the grade, man. You gave him a B+. I'm down to like that C plus range. And I say that because we just don't know what we have. I mean, we think, you know, we see Will Howard play a lot of college football. And if you watch the film, some games Will Howard is on, he's tremendous. He's, you know, looked like one of the top quarterbacks in the nation. And then you watch another game, it's kind of like, what is going on? Like, what, you know, what kind of decisions are he making? Like, everything is just kind of off. And I feel like he's one of the type of guys with the rhythm of things. If he's on, he's on. If he's off, he's off. And so I just don't know what we have, right? So, you know, getting into the year, obviously he could be that tremendous guy. And, you know, if you have a great year at Ohio State, I mean, you're up for the Heisman, right? I mean, that's just literally how it goes, you know, especially with Chip Kelly coming in, and we know he's going to be able to kind of put some stats up on the board. But I just, once again, don't know what we're going to have there. In my opinion, Devin Brown should still really be in a great conversation as a starter next year. He's been in the program now going to a third year. He has some experience, you know, seeing some live action, right? Obviously got hurt in the bowl game, but before the season, he was kind of getting sprinkled in there before he had an injury as well. So Will comes in and, you know, he's for whatever reason, he's putting back-to-back, you know, not great practices in. I feel like, you know, the window still should be open for a Devin Brown to really have a chance to compete for that position. So that's why I'm a little bit low on the grade. Because, once again, you know, I just don't know what we have there. Obviously, you still have Leakin. Coach Day speaks very high of Leakin. So this will be his first spring at Ohio State, going to a camp. So there's more practices there under his belt. And then you got the young, talented guys, right? The guys that we've been savoring over for a while now. You got Aaron Nolan in. And then the surprise, Julian saying, leaving Alabama and coming over. But once again, a lot of talent there. A really talented room. I don't know. Other than maybe Texas, we might have like one of the most talented quarterback rooms in the nation. But I just can't say I know for sure where we're going to get out that position. So the grade is a little bit lower, but obviously it's just a little preseason grade. You know, once we kind of get through spring, get in the fall, can't play some games, anything could change there. But we just don't know. But that's our show for today. That's Believe in Buckeyes. We always like to end our show with a nice crisp OH.
Ayo.
And the Go Bucks, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Go Bucks.